Rabbi, I wanted to share with you a fascinating thing about Torah on the Parsha. There is a most amazing Dvar Torah, which is written in the Be'er Yosef, which was the Maggid of Yerushalayim, Reb Yosef's Salant. He was a Maggid of Yerushalayim in a generation or two ago. More than a generation or two, more like three generations ago. A fantastic sefer, Be'er Yosef. He says about on this week's Parsha, which actually, Shem Shon Lefol Hirsch says the identical vort. So you've got Yerushalayim Yid, who says a vort, and in a very different world, in Frankfurt am Main, the Shem Shon Lefol Hirsch says the identical vort. So from such different worlds, I'm coming to the same thought, it must be that it's Emmas. We say in this week's Sedra, there is the mitzvah of the avodah rather of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Now the thing is that on Yom Kippur itself, we don't generally have time to focus so much on the actual avodah. Sometimes we do, but generally speaking, there's so much to focus on when it comes to Yom Kippur. We sometimes fail to actually focus on the actual avodah. So if you learn Maseches Yoma, you have a bit of time to focus on it then. Otherwise, a good opportunity is to think about it when you learn Parshat Achrei Mos. There's a very strange thing, really bizarre and unique. We find the only time in the Torah that a korban is designated with in a particular way, like we don't find anywhere else. Generally, when you assign a korban, you just designate it by saying, "Okay, this is the korban I'm going to bring, and that's what it's going to be the korban, and that's it." Anything that will be brought on the mizbech will be a korban. When it comes to the avodah of the Kohen Gadol, it's not so. Rather, you bring two identical. As the pasuk says, so you take two goats, lechatos. One of them is going to go ultimately to Azazel. One of them is going to be brought in the Kodesh Kedoshim. And only once you have taken the goyel, the lot, the Kohen Gadol takes the lot, and one is decided to go here, one is going to decide over there. So it's a bit of a strange thing. We don't do this any other time in the Torah. We don't ever do that. But here we suddenly find that instead of just assigning one, okay, do you go over here and you go over there, and that, it's not only this whole process of a process of a goyel of a lot. Moreover, what we find also is that there's a tremendous emphasis what we don't find anywhere else. There's a tremendous emphasis of the two seerim have to be identical. If one of them is bigger, the other one is smaller, they are invalid. If one of them is stronger, the other one is weaker, it's no good. One of them is taller and shorter, no good. They have to look the same, they have to be the same height, the same strength, the same style. Now to me, all the goats look the same, and all the sheep look the same, and they all look the same. But, mind you, when I was in Wales last year, the farmer that we stayed with, yeah, I don't remember how many hundreds of sheep he had. I don't mean hundreds and hundreds of sheep. So, when one of the sheep escaped, or it was two sheep or whatever, he told me, "Oh, this one he always runs away, he always escapes." I said, "How do you know?" He said, "Oh, can't you tell? This is I don't know whatever the name was." So, out of 700 sheep, you could actually differentiate and tell them apart. So, for a farmer, the sheep actually look very, very different. To us, they all look the same. So, yes, they have to look the same. They have to be. So we find this mitzvah that they all, and from those two identical goats, one of them goes to Azazel, one of them goes to Hashem. What's pshat in that? So the Be'er Yosef says a fantastic word. He said a fantastic word. He says, you know, look at the outcome. Look at the outcome, he says. That the outcome is one of them that goes to Azazel. He's thrown down the cliff very literally. And he's a kapor for kleis. He doesn't go anywhere near the Beis HaMikdash. He doesn't go anywhere near the Kodesh. He doesn't go anywhere near the something sacred. But rather, he's thrown down the cliff. He's going through Ish Iti, goes to the midbar, he's thrown down the cliff without any ceremony, he's just been thrown down the cliff, and that's the kapod. The other one, on the other hand, goes to the Kodesh Kedoshim, no less, and he is shechted by the Kohen Gadol in the Kodesh Kedosh, in the Kodesh, the most holy person, on the most holy day, the most holy avodah of the whole year. He makes it all the way there. One of them, to the extreme, goes to Azazel, and the other one ends up on the other extreme. The other extreme, he ends up Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. So he says, if you look at the outcomes, you see one of them is made into something very special, the other one has failed bitterly. He says, you would have assumed that it's got to do with the background. He said, no, nothing with the background. The starting point was the same. They all both could have potentially, in theory, both could have made it. But this teaches us that when we want to look at outcomes in Avodas Hashem, we want to look at where we get to in Avodas Hashem, in Torah and Mitzvahs, everybody has the same chance initially. Everybody's got the same chance. We're all the same. But we've got to take advantage of the situations. We've got to make sure that we take advantage of the situations and we keep growing and growing. But don't say, oh, look, he made it to Torah because look where he came from. Oh, obviously I end up like this because look where I come from. So no. The two Se'irim are an internal lesson and message. That it's nothing to do with where you come from. It's where you're going to and what you're trying to do out of situations. So it's the both Se'irim have to be identified to teach us, look, what can become is it's about what you make out of situations. Now, of course, when it comes to the Seirim, they have got no bechira. Of course, by them it's just a matter of a goyel. But the point being that the starting point is not what's kaveh. Everybody's the same. We can all make it if we really try towards it. If we work towards it, and I thought it's a worthwhile thought I want to share with you. Okay, so we spoke yesterday about Chodosh. Chodosh being an Issa that any grain that grows before Pesach, is taken root before Pesach. We've got that deadline of Pesach. Again, it's the 18th or the 17th, depending on where you are exactly. Chutzlar, it says. So either way, we're going to call it Pesach. When you have got that threshold Pesach, that's when it becomes the grain, the five types of grain become mutter, and Pesach allows us to benefit from it. Anything that grows afterwards is actually also, that's called chodosh, it's newly grown crop, that remains also until next Pesach. And although there's discussion whether this issa applies also nowadays, one question, maybe only applies in the times of Beis HaMikdash. Question number two is a discussion as to whether this applies in Chutz Laaretz too. Yeah, it could be it's only in Eretz Yisrael, it's mitzvahs that flew us by Oretz. Question number two. At the end of the day, these are both machloekes and shonim. Many shonim look at it being as a sofek deraisa, so that would mean that we've got to be machmir when we've got sfeikas. Lemaisa, as we discussed yesterday in great detail, the minig is widely accepted that we are generally and globally makel in that. The Ramah explains the rationale being that it's a sfek sfeika. One sofek, perhaps it's from last year's crop and produce. Suffix number two is that perhaps it grew before Pesach, and therefore Pesach was matzeret. So you've got Sfek Sfek, and therefore we're allowed to be lenient. We asked that this is a questionable, I think Rabbi Tepper asked yesterday, Rabbi Kivega's question, seems to be a very questionable approach, because at the end of the day, it's all boils down to one Sfek. Was it around Pesach? Was it not around Pesach? It doesn't seem to be a Sfek Sfeker, rather seems to be one Sfek. But Levi Zeremar says it, and it's got to be understood. We also learned this traditional kulas, which is brought down in the Mishneh Berurah, but again, he says that Zalim Utschus, he says that since it's very hard to live without bread, it's very hard to live for many, many months without any access of grain and produce. So he's trying to push for kulas, but he finishes off saying, if you can't be lenient, you should be lenient. Rabbi Ketanke yesterday said, Reb Gideon, are you on? Reb Gideon? I don't know if Gideon is on. He mentioned yesterday that based on what we said yesterday, should be that since we just passed Pesach, then it should nowadays should be categorically be be fine because we just passed Pesach. Because if Pesach allows it, then this time of year everything should be in order. That's what he said. I said he's probably right. I did check with the Kashrut authority, and they said yes, it's true. What I didn't check, because I know it's a very complex shaila, depends very much on where you are. When actually it becomes questionable, because again, from harvesting till our tables, at times it's quite short. The manufacturing and nowadays it can at times be very, very quick. So the Weetabix that we eat nowadays, or the whatever you may have on our tables, we don't know when it was actually produced, and so therefore at times it's quite old, at times it's quite recent. To make things more complicated, there is an approach in Achronim that say that you've got so many sfeikas. It's very much based on sfeikas. It's a sofek, you don't know where it's coming from, so at the very least, you know, in Chutz La'aretz is the abonon, it's a sofek d'abonon, it can be lenient, a bit like the Ramah. Sofek d'abonon l'kula. Lemaisa, I did see that some Achronim and some Poskim question that, especially in contemporary days. It seems to be a dodgy chumrah. I mean, I wouldn't say dodgy, but a bit of questionable chumrah. Kula. That's in the leniency again. The leniency is based on the fact that it's a sofek. You don't know when it's from. You have got this box of cereal in front of you. How on earth are you meant to know where it is? So it's sofek, sofek the abonon l'kula. Now, there is something which nowadays makes this approach much more difficult, as opposed to 100 years ago. Any thoughts on that? Why nowadays is this more questionable? Yeah, that's it. That's absolutely correct. Nowadays, whilst me, as an average customer, when I take a box of whatever it may be, I may not be able to figure out when it was harvested and when it was grown and all that. But with the right knowledge and information and data, you could find out. Because of transparency and rules and regulations and all that, there is ways of finding out. The truth is, the Kashrut authorities, they do that on a regular basis. They will check when this box of cereal was manufactured, created, harvested. When is it all from? It's possible to find out. It's no secrets. There's no secrets. In theory, I could call up a manufacturing company, whether it's Nestle or Weetabix or even in Israel, Osem and whatever it is, and I could actually ask them, this is the batch number, can you tell me about it? And they will, perhaps with difficulty, but eventually they will be able to trace it back and tell me when this is from. If that's true, and it is, so it's much more difficult to say sofek derabanan lekula. It's not really a sofek, because a sofek is to be a genuine, real sofek. I don't know when this was grown and harvested. Like 100 years ago, you had a bag of wheat, a bag of grain. You had no way of investigating when this was from. You couldn't tell. You can ask perhaps the farmer, but he might not know because it's made in be imported, so you can't find out. There's no reasonable way of finding out nowadays, however, so that would be a real sofek, and you could say sofek derabanan lekula. Nowadays we don't say sofek with something which is possible to investigate, but we are too, I wouldn't say lazy, but it's just not practical to investigate everybody. So it remains, again, I'm just raising all this because it leads to more questions in terms of chodosh and those yidin wamachme on yashan. They claim that the general kula that used to apply for centuries and centuries may now nowadays not apply so much anymore, but I'm just raising that. I also want to mention a very significant kula which the Mishnebuah brings in Zivkot Memches, and with that we're going to move on to the next topic. Mishnebuah in Zivkot Memches says, what happens if you say that you used you cooked your oats, yeah, and you weren't sure, and it turns out that they were, you know, chodosh, and then you decide you want to be machmir about that. You want to now know if you can use that saucepan, that pot, those kelim that you use for vaday chodosh, if you can still use it or not. Or perhaps if somebody's machmir, can he eat with the kelim that of somebody who is mekel? So the Mishnah tells us a rule over here in Sifkot Memches. Two lines from the bottom. Atchilas kosva achronim dachronim, right? The afan izorim echadosh, even those who are careful with chadosh, enum izorim, they are not careful with pitas kelim, they are not makpit and careful with regards to the pots and saucepans and kelim. You don't have to be so far, you don't have to be machmir. He said, unless perhaps if you know for sure it's chadosh, if you know for sure it is chadosh, then you should be maybe be machmir for 24 hours not to use it. But here again, it's on the whole, there is no chumah with regards to kelim. Okay, what are your thoughts on this topic of chadosh and yoshon? Any thoughts on that before we proceed? It's a good question. At times, the kosher authorities will inform the public of certain things. But at times, yidden who are, there is various publications as well, but they are not always very, very, they are not 100% up to date at times. In America, there is very good publications that are very, very quick and very updated. In England, we don't have that yet. The only thing which I can say that if you do call up kosher authorities and you end up speaking to the right person, they can generally give advice. So they may tell you, there is lines that will help you and say, okay, you know the oats? Yes, this particular oat for the next 2 months, you are safe. Or they'll say, you know what, if you're makpid on yoshon, then refrain from this particular one for the next few weeks. They will give you general, broad advice. But you have to be lucky to speak to the right person, and you have to be, yeah, the truth is, it's still something which perhaps in England should be developed a bit further. Yeah. Okay. Okay, we're up to Simon Tov Tzadi. Starting up the halachas of Seder Tefillas Yom Sheni Tefillas Chulos Shel Moed, top of page 194. So Yom Sheni, Yom Sheni Korim BePashta. Just to finish off, why is this suddenly brought over here? Why is suddenly also brought in the end of Simon Tov Beites? We have been speaking about Sfiras HaOmer. How does suddenly Chodosh end up in the Simon? How does it end up into the topic? The answer is, just because of the deadline, the threshold, is Pesach. It's on those first days of Pesach that it becomes Mutter. Therefore, it's brought down in Simon Tov Pei Tes, which also speaks about which Asfiras HaOmer starts on the first day of, second day of Pesach. So, in line with that, they mention Es HaChodosh. So, that's how it comes into it. But again, greater detail is discussed here and there. Top of page 194. Say the tefillah Yom Sheni, tefillah Chulos Shel Moed. Be Yom Sheni, on the second day of Yom Tov. Koyim Pashas Emor, read Pashas Emor. Shoyl Oy Kesev. Outside for Inyan, until the end of the topic. Umaftir Koyrek Moibiyam Rishon, Maftir Israel, like on the first day. Maftir Melochim, and the Haftoire isn't safe for Melochim. Be Pesach Yoshio, Mavishlach HaMelech, Vachov Loikom Kamoyu. And then we read from Melochim. I believe this is Melochim Beis. Vishlach Melochim Vachavad Loikem Kamoyu. But this is what is read. Now, why is that read? Why is that lamed? Sivkot Nalev Mishtabur Seir Kesef Demayir Shom In Kol Amoedim. There we discuss all the Yom Tovim. Vigam Shel Pesach, and Pesach is also included there, and he's mentioned that. That's why we lane it. And also for Inyan Hainu, I have Edab Moshe Esmer De Hashem. Now comes, gentlemen, an interesting Mishnah Berurah. I don't know if any of you are makpid. I don't know how well known it is. I don't know if this is common knowledge or uncommon knowledge. I don't know. The Mishnah Berurah says as follows. V'toiv kotzva svorim, and the svorim write, It's a Magen Avraham, actually, in the name of the Shlach HaKadosh. To toiv la'asos b'yom sheni, it is right, it is proper, that on the second day of Pesach, so second day of Pesach, after the second day of Pesach, it is right to do b'yom tov sheni besuda on the day, so second day of Yom Tov, it is right and proper to do Ezer Dovah Lezeh Chesudas Esther. It is right and proper to add something in honor of Esther. Why? How does Esther come into Pesach? Nice one. Shebi'ei Ma'u, because on that day, Nitla Haman, Haman was hung on the second day of Pesach, as is explicit in Megillas Esther. So therefore, since he was... that was his day of his tzliyah, of his hanging. Therefore, we celebrate this on his anniversary, on that particular anniversary, by having an extra food in honor of Suda, in honor of Esther Malko in that particular Suda. I don't know if this is common knowledge or not, and I don't know if anybody does anything, but the Magen Avraham brings this in the name of the Shlach HaKadosh. Again? We do indeed. Yes, he's mentioned. Esther is mentioned. As in one of the Piyutim on the second, that's right, on the Piyut on the second, in the second day. Yeah, that's right. I don't know about Haman be mentioned, but Esther is certainly mentioned, correct, yeah. 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 Good. Now, yeah. Yeah. Okay, Siv Gemma, Siv Base. Yom Shlish Yom Chul Shalmoid, the third day is Cholamoid. Siv Base. Yom Shlish Yom Chul Shalmoid, on the third day, which is the first day Cholamoid. Arvis, Vishachvis, Vimincha, Mispal Kedakoi. Mariv, Shachvis, Mincha, we daven regular Shmon Esser. Veoima, plus you add Yalev Yovoi, Bavoi, do you let Yad Yalev Yovoi? Say adding cholamoid because it's being cholamoid. If a person failed to remember to say alev yovoi, machzirin, so you go back. If you forget alev yovoi, you go back. V'chein maskirnos maskira beviyekas amazon. Similarly, we say alev yovoi during benching. However, if you forget to say alev yovoi in benching and machzirinos, so you don't go back. Musaf, Mispal Kidech, Mispal Musaf, Bishl Yom Tov, and Musaf, you say the same Musaf that you say on Yom Tov. Eloshim, Shemagir, Alade Moshe, Avdechom, and Pi, Kvedechakom, Oime, Vikavtem, Oilo, Vigoyim, Ad, Shnei Smidim, Kil Choson. Says the Mishnebu in Sifkok and Gimel, and Machzirin, Oist, Tavke, Betfila, this, only with regards to Tfila we go back. Deloy Sagi, Deloy Spalel, Vikimit, Shalay Spal, Kiro Yachso, because He wasn't Yotzei's davening, and since he wasn't Yotzei's davening, he has to go back and repeat Shemona Esser. I'm skipping the brackets. Masha Enken, however, when it comes to benching, why is it that we don't go back on Cholamoed? The Iboi Loyochil Dovamich Chavri Birkas Amozen. When it comes to benching, you don't go back if you forget Yalev Yovoi, because you wouldn't have to, there's no obligation to eat on Cholamoed. So when it comes to Retzei, for instance, you have to go back to bench again because you have to eat Shabbos Suda. You have to eat the Suda on Shabbos. Therefore, if you forget Retzei, you have to bench again. However, when it comes to benching on Cholamoed, you don't have to eat. You don't have to wash, really. And therefore, if you forget Yalev Yovoi, you don't have to go back during benching, but you do have to go back during Shemoneh Esser, for Shemoneh Esser. Because you could Shuechel Bosav Peres, you could eat on Cholamoed, you could eat meat or fruit, while Kain Ein Machzir Noise B'chol Gavlin, therefore you don't have to go back. Right, okay, so let's just summarize what we learned this evening. We went over the lochas of Yoshan and Chodosh, adding a couple of points. mentioning that we're not sure nowadays it's really genuinely a soft bake. We spoke about the kelim, Mishnah Busif Kotten Mem Ches, that kelim nowadays, even if you have a vata, you don't have to be machmir, certainly not after 24 hours. We learned that on the second day, we lain Shor Kesef, and we lain Maftir Haftariz and Melochim. We learned that the Sforim write it's good to celebrate Haman's hanging on Pesach. By the way, anybody who is more inclined towards Hashkofa and Machshava, challenge, I don't know what the connection is. There must be some sort of connection between second day Pesach to Esther. There must be some deeper connection, which I don't know. What's the connection between the second day of Pesach? Now, I know he was hanging then, but I want to know, there must be some deeper connection. Nobody, Rabbi Kagan, would be able to help with that. Some sort of connection between, yeah? No. Very good. There you go. So you're saying there is the Oima, therefore, you're saying that the Oima is... Yeah, that must be elaborated. Beautiful. There's something to think about. Excellent. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, very nice. So we have, therefore, we celebrate. He said it's good to celebrate Esther on second day of Pesach during the meal. We then spoke about davening on Chol HaMoed. We add for Shachris Yalev Yovoi. Musaf is regular Yom Tov Musaf. If a person forgets Yalev Yovoi during Shachris, he must go back. However, if a person forgets Yalev Yovoi during benching, he doesn't go back. Okay, these are the halachas that we cover this evening. B'siat Yishmaya. Yeah, good Shabbos.